praise the Lord. God's so good. Finally made it today. Went out, went to start the truck, anyway. So I thought, well, this isn't good. And my alternator, I'd been having a little bit of trouble with the alternator. It would, you start the truck and for quite a while it would say, battery not charged, and then it would start charging, be fine. So anyways, went out this morning and I'm ready for church. And so I went out and nothing. So I went and got my battery charger, plugged it in, charger up a little bit, hit the starter and took off. Still not charging. But this is normal, so I left it run a little bit, you know, and it didn't charge. Well, I had the battery charger on just on medium, just to give a little extra charge. So I took that off and it went. That was it. But praise the Lord, we made it. We're good. Everybody have their Bible, turn with me to New Testament, Book of Romans. I got so much junk in my Bible, it don't want to turn sometimes. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word, Father. God, we thank you, Father, that God, we can, first of all, that God, we are your children. God, you have saved us by grace, Father. And God, we thank you that we can call you Abba, Father. We can call you our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, everything, our Deliverer, our Healer, our Friend. Father, you are everything, Father. And God, you have called us into your kingdom, Father. God, you have made us in, you've called us into the family of God. And Father, you've called us into this place, Father, this body of believers, Father. So, Father, as we look into your word, Father, God, just knit us and mold us together, Father. God, that we bring glory and honor to your name. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So today, we are, every year, we take one service, usually the first service of the month of the year. And we set people into position of ministry. And so today we're going to set just the leaders of the ministry teams in position for the year. And once again, we thank everybody for, you know, saying, yeah, here am I, use me. And that just, can you imagine the heart of the Father when his children says, here am I, use me? Isn't that what he really wants? You know, he didn't just save us to take us to glory. He said, occupy till I come. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Hallelujah. So, you know, everything we do here, that's about our Father's business, right? As we're knit together, as we support one another, as we, go into the harvest field, as we bring people in, disciple people, just create that unity within the body, and we all do our part, that brings glory to God. Hallelujah. How many have ever heard of Irma Bombeck? Yeah. Irma Bombeck said this, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say I used everything you gave me. I thought that was pretty good. I get this, I don't know why, but I get this magazine. I get several farm magazines. They keep sending them, you know, and whatever. So anyways, I get this magazine called Progressive Farmer. And in the back is this page called Cornerstone. And you know what the whole page was about this month? About using our talents. And I thought, God, you're good. Leo Buscaglia put it this way, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. J.R. Rowling wrote this, I would like to be remembered as someone who did the best she could with the talent she had. That's what I would like too. Hallelujah. So the title of the message is Set Apart for Service 2018. How many have read the book of Exodus, chapter 18? Okay, you know the story about the Exodus? The great Exodus? When Moses led the people out of Egypt, right? And in chapter 18, there, the people have come out, and through trials, through problems, whatever, they've not entered into the promised land. And so here they are, they're camped at this place that the Bible calls the Mount of God. And so Moses' father-in-law, anybody remember his name?
Was it Jethro?
It was Jethro. I was going to say, how many ever watched the Beverly Hillbillies? Well, anyway, his father-in-law's name was Jethro. And so Jethro, well, when Moses answered the call, he sent his wife back home, right? Wife and kids went back home. And so Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, in his wisdom, he brings the wife and the children back to Moses. Right? And so now Jethro was a priest of Midian. He was a priest. And so anyways, they'd done the normal greetings and everything, and Moses honored his father-in-law. And the next day, Moses went about his, what he does. He went out first thing in the morning, and the people would come to him with their problems, whatever they were, you know, it could have been anything. Maybe somebody had 5 chickens and they only got 4 eggs, so who stole the egg, you know, or whatever. Or maybe, who knows what the problems were. But anyways, they would come to Moses. And they would line up for who knows how far. And so here's Moses, and they would come and they would present their problems to him. And so he was the problem solver. He would judge their situations all day, clear up till dark. So Jethro, he's watching this, and he's a little older, a little wiser maybe, you know. Now, not that Moses is a teenager, because he's got some age to him too. But anyways, he says, Moses, now this is paraphrasing, you can read it, but this is paraphrasing. He said, Moses, what you're doing isn't good. He said, this is not good. I don't know whether he thought, now, you should be spending some time with your wife or what. But he says, Moses, this isn't good that you're spending all your time just doing this. He said, what you need to do, he said, if you'll take my counsel. That's always the question, right? Because otherwise, I'm not even going to waste my breath. And so he said, if you'll take my counsel, you can imagine that he's waiting for a response from Moses. If you'll take my counsel. And apparently Moses was open to it. And he said, here's what you need to do. He said, you have all these people, and in these people, in amongst all these people, there's good men. They've proven that they're good. And he said, choose you out of all the people, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, and hating covetousness, to help you, and you just deal with the big things. You let these other people take care of the little things, because they're faithful, they're godly men, and just let them take care of the everyday problems. But the big ones, he said, anything they can't deal with, then you just have the people come and you take care of that. And verse 23, if thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace. Jethro said, you're going to wear yourself out, you're going to wear the people out trying to do this. But if you'll just get people to help you. D.L. Moody, anybody ever hear of D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody said, I would rather find 1,000 men to do the work than to do 1,000 men's work. I thought, that makes sense. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So we're one body, right? And we have many members. We're going to have many more, but we have many members. And we're all different. In 1 Corinthians 12:14, for the body is not one member, but many. in verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one in the body, as it hath pleased him. Now, isn't this cool? That God brings in all the people that we need. All the talent we need, all the abilities, all the gifts God brings in to make up a body. Now, right now, we're a small body. And so, you know, God has given each of us several gifts, right? We all probably have several gifts. And so, with a small body, we have to overlap. And we have to, like we like to say, wear many hats. And so we do. And we pray for more people, right? God, you bring in the people. And sometimes we have to pray specifically. God, we need people with this gifting, with this ability, and God, just bring them in. Verse 25, that there should be no schism or division or discord in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. In other words, he's called us to be concerned about other people. You know, to pray for each other. How many pray for each other? Man, we need to be praying for each other. And to have the same concern, you know, how many know that who's the last one to get prayed for? We are. You know, we pray for everybody else, and a lot of times we don't pray for ourselves, right? But if everybody else is praying, then we're all covered. And boy, we need covered in prayer, right? Because, you know, we have problems. There's stuff, life, whatever you want to call it, and as well as the devil out there. And so we need to be covering each other in prayer every day. Hallelujah. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. So when one of us have a problem, because we're all part of one body, we all suffer. It's like, how many have ever hit their finger with a hammer? Ouch. Did just the finger hurt? No. Everything hurt, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't have said ouch if it didn't come back up through to your brain, right? And so when one member suffers, you know, if we're really knit together like we're supposed to be, right? And we're really praying for each other, when one member is... How many have ever felt that God lay on your heart to pray for somebody? Well, that's because we're connected. That's because of the connection in the spirit, and God's, you know, letting us know that, hey, this part of the body's hurting. We need to pray for them. How many have ever called somebody? Boy, you know, I've learned that when God puts somebody on your heart, on your mind, it's a good idea to give them a call, see what's going on. I've seen this numerous times. You call and you're just talking, and pretty soon, out comes the stuff, and they say, wow, you called at just the right time. And, you know, that's God. Hallelujah. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, a lot of times, we got the crying together down pretty good. Right? We'll cry with each other. But do we really rejoice with somebody? When one rejoices, we should all rejoice. We should be so excited. You know, it may seem like some little thing that God blessed them with, and we say, well, that's nice. But do we really rejoice with them? Now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So, we're all different. How many would say that's probably true? We all have gifts, talents, abilities, right? We all have little quirks. Little things maybe that rub each other the wrong way sometimes. But we're all different. But God can sand off the rough places, right? Hallelujah. But we're all different. But we're all part of the body. And when we learn to accept everybody because they're different, then we can get along. But sometimes we think, well, if everybody was like me, you know, we'd be doing good. Why isn't that person like me? Why do they do this? Why do they think that? And they're probably thinking the same thing. If they was like me, they'd be okay. Hallelujah. In an adult human being, there's 206 bones, 640 muscles, 78 internal organs, 12 organ systems, 900 ligaments, thousands of tendons, and 100 trillion cells. Humans also have four major appendages, arms, legs, and each one has five separate digits, fingers and toes, and they're all connected to form one human body. This is one body with a vast number of parts. And all the parts are separate. All the parts are unique. Yet they're all connected and they're all unified. Now, Paul used the description of the human body to parallel with the spiritual body. And it's just awesome. And just think, if Paul would have had access to what all the doctors and scientists know now about the body. Because every day they're learning more, right? Just think, how much might he have expanded on this? About the cells. You know, there's just so much going on in this body and your body. You know, it just always blows my mind. God, how could anybody say there's not a God? Now, how could all these millions of things in my body function to be life? And they all work together. Now just think of that. Well, we know what happens when they don't work, right? What's cancer? It's cells running rampant, right? They're out of order. But that's not God's design, because God's a God of order. Amen? Hallelujah. Being a Christian is like being one of the parts of the human body, unique and purposeful, yet every Christian has the privilege of being part of something larger than himself, the body of Christ. Now think about it. When we get saved, out of darkness, brought into the light, and God puts us into the body of Christ. I think it's pretty neat. You know, when I get the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord, I always like to challenge them, so to speak, with, do you know what just happened? And usually they'll say, well, no. You know, when they truly and sincerely give their heart to God, the Bible tells us some of the things that happen, right? Instantly. How many know God's a God of instantlies, suddenlies? Well, instantly, Jesus comes to live in our heart. Right? instantly, all simultaneously. It's just like a chain reaction. There's an angel in heaven, and he's got a book. And he writes a name down. It's called the Book of Life. Right? Immediately, the angels in heaven are celebrating. Isn't that what the Bible says? All the angels are rejoicing when one sinner. Immediately, we are part of the family of God. And, you know, it's really, really neat. I tell people, you know what just happened? You're my brother, you're my sister. And they'll say, well, that's what the Bible says, right? Immediately, we're clothed with righteousness. There's just so much. It can just go on and on and on and on. I think it's pretty neat.
Maybe nobody else does it, I do. I get a kick out of telling people that.
So we're part of the body. There's two dimensions in Christ. Uniqueness in Christ contributing to unity in Christ. So we're all unique. Everybody would say, that's true. And the uniqueness contributes to unity. So we believe that the church is more than just a building. Come on, this is just where we meet, right? We're a gathering of people. It's a body living in relationship and harmony under the direction of the head of the church, Jesus Christ. So, we're the church. Romans 12:4 in the Living Bible puts it this way. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do, so we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. So we belong to each other, and every one of us need the other person. How many ever heard the term, no man is an island? So we wasn't created to be an island, to live by ourselves. And so we believe that every believer, regardless of race, you know, black, white, red, yellow, whatever, man, woman, professor or high school dropout or everything in between or whatever, you know, we're all part of the body. We're all in full-time ministry. Anybody know that? You're in full-time ministry. Isn't that what God said we're to do? Yeah. Even if we have a secular vocation, we're still full-time ministry. So every believer has a unique mix of different gifts, talents, abilities. So the ultimate object of equipping a ministry to function properly is one, to build up the body. You know, we need to be built up. The devil wants to tear us down. The world wants to tear us down. So we need to, you know, be working together, building each other up. And the unity of the body. We need to be so unified, a part of it. And the maturing of the body. How many know that when we come to Christ, we're babes? And so we need to mature. And even as we work together, as we pray for each other, as we share our concerns, whatever, you know, God just wants us to mature. wants us to not stay babes, but to mature and grow. Amen? And the fullness of Christ. So, you know, in the body, we want the fullness of Christ. Not just parts, fragments, but we want the fullness. We want, we just want so much for Jesus to truly be the Lord. Truly be everything. And so that requires us all to do our part. Ephesians 4:6 puts it this way. He makes the whole body fit together and unites it through the support of every joint. As each and every part does its job, he makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Ephesians 2:10 says, you are God's workmanship, and you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, good works isn't going to save us, right? But we should do good works from salvation. In Matthew 23:11, here's the paraphrase. The greatest in the kingdom of God are those who serve. So as we place people in ministry, now if you were being ordained in the ministry, there's biblical ways to ordain. And even though it's not an ordination service, so to speak, the same pattern, the same principle applies. And so I'm going to break it down into two things. And number one is anointing. According to Webster's Dictionary, to anoint means to rub oil or ointment on. To put oil on in a ceremony of consecration. And consecration is an act to dedicate to a higher purpose. Exodus 28:41. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And so here's God giving Moses instructions, and he said, anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister to me in the priest's office. How many know we're priests and kings? You know what the Bible says? We're priests and kings. And so no matter what area of ministry in the church you're in, God still wants to anoint you. And it's part of ministry. Now you may think, you may be a janitor. We'll just use janitor as, you know, people think janitor's the where you start out, right? And so anyways, how many have ever heard of janitors leading a lot of people to the Lord? Probably, you know, what we would consider maybe the lowest job, and yet they have the opportunity to, as they do their part, do their job, there's opportunities for them to do great things. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel 16:13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. Who did he anoint? David. And he didn't do it out in the desert somewhere, right? He anointed them in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So, you know, we just anoint people. Number two, laying on of hands. To receive anointing, to consecrate and receive the necessary ministry tools. Numbers 27:18, the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he laid his hands on him, and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. In Deuteronomy 34:9, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Old Testament. Here's New Testament. Acts 6:2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And Timothy received spiritual gifts when the elders put their hands on them, including the gift of wisdom and teaching. And Paul reminded him, he said, Timothy, remember when you were ordained that such gifts, there was an impartation that took place at this time. And he said, you need to stir up. Stir up that gift. So today, we're going to anoint people. I'm going to lay my hands on them. And I believe that as we do this, something's going to happen in the spirit realm. Something in the spirit realm is going to be set in motion. Because I believe this is a pattern. And so we are going to, at this time, I'm going to anoint and we're going to pray over people. Amen. Hallelujah. Does somebody want to go and get Louise?